Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Tasker, touchdown, Buffalo!
And it's Steve Tasker who has been all over the field.
Kind of unique. He was kind of a dual-role player for you.
Steve!
A balloon.
Steve! A blimp? We're not even in the stratosphere of normalcy. Full bank of a show today, Wednesday, as we turn the page to week two, Bills, Dolphins. It's the fish week, people. Let's get it ready. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker with you, and just a cornucopia of offerings for you on today's three-hour program as Steve and I are here with you until 3 p.m. today, broadcasting live from the Seneca Studio in Orchard Park. And about 50 yards away from us, the music and the bass is already pumping at practice. We'll check in there in about, I'd say 35, 40 minutes with Matty Glab, who'll be at practice, giving us the update. Coach McDermott on with the media just moments ago and did confirm that Matt Milano will not practice today. Neither will Delshawn Phillips. And you might say, well, what's wrong with him? He went out of the game on Sunday with a quad injury. Played right. Largely on special teams, but he is a backup strong side linebacker. So he is not practicing today either. And it is a wait and see. Those are Coach McDermott's words on whether Tremaine Edmonds will practice today. So we'll get an update from Matty on that from the sidelines at practice as to whether or not he is doing anything. So the Bills run the risk of being shorthanded. On Sunday at quite possibly two very key positions in terms of athleticism on the defensive side of the ball for them. I mean, Edmonds and Milano are three down players who do an awful lot.
Yeah, it's a lot to replace those guys, no question. A.J. Klein, Medakevich, I guess Terrell Dotson.
Nice players.
Yeah.
Not the same athletes.
Yeah, not the same athletes as Tremaine and Milano for sure. It looks like... I mean, I don't know. And I thought the quad injury, I actually almost thought he got a Charlie horse, like got a whack. It was almost a contusion, not a pulled muscle. Because I thought he was caught up in it, and we never got clarification, so it may be just a pulled quad or whatever. I thought his was a contusion, and I'm telling you, those hurt, man. I had one of those as well. And it's not, the treatment for it is completely different than for a pulled muscle. And that's why it's – I couldn't even begin to tell you how long – even though I've had one, I can't even remember how it was. I know I missed a game.
Every case is different, and we'll have to see where it goes. Hopefully it's something where Delshawn just needs an extra day, and maybe through treatment they can work that – you know, because when you have a contusion like that, what it means is the muscle is literally bleeding internally. And that's right. Why you have that, you know, bruised look between your muscle and your skin – and treatment is designed to help kind of work that those dead blood cells out of there so you can flex and move that muscle again the way you're used to. You know, all that blood inside is kind of compromising that. So treatment is essential through the course of the week. And, of course, you know, the Bills have a great athletic training staff to hopefully accomplish that, if that, in fact, is all it is. Now, if it's a pulled quad, that's a much different story because now it's a lot harder to run down the field 40 yards full speed on kickoff coverage and stuff like that. So,
well, it already begins. I mean, it's been a couple of years since we've had too many injuries to prominent players to talk about. Usually the only one we can remember is, you know, Harrison Phillips last year, week three. The Bills were incredibly healthy all throughout last year and through 2018.
Yeah.
So perhaps the – you know, the odds are catching up with him, and it's going to start to even out with him and the rest of the NFL.
Well, and again, we have the long layoff with no real ramp-up, no preseason, playing a factor, too. There are a lot of soft tissue injuries across the league. I can't tell you how many receivers went down with hamstring injuries, right, either leading up to week one or in the games in week one. And the Dolphins have one of their own. Right. Their top receiver, Devontae Parker, left last week's game with a hamstring injury, did not return. And he is a question mark for the game this week for the Dolphins.
The Jets' top pick, Mims.
Denzel Mims. Pulled his other hamstring.
He's on IR now. They put him on the three-week IR. So it's everywhere. Also, today when McDermott was talking to the media, they did get into the fact that the quarterback for the New England Patriots is a 6'5", 250-pound guy who they ran a lot, and that just so happens the Bills guy is 6'5", 250 pounds as well. And so he would – and. You know, they wanted to see, find out if Sean McDermott was going to do the same thing that New England was in. I doubt that that'll be the case.
Well, I will say this, and I want, and we'll have Dan Orlovsky on at 1 o'clock today from ESPN, who had some glowing things to say about how Josh Allen and Brian Daboll have matured and progressed and developed as a coordinator QB combo here over these last couple of years, and he has marveled at the improvements that Josh has made in his game, was tweeting all about it yesterday. We will have him on at 1 o'clock to expand on that, but there's one question I want to ask Dan.
Should, you want me to write that down so I can ask
I've already got it written down,
gonna,
but you're yeah, I'm sure you'll steal it.
Okay, all right.
I don't care as long, I don't care as long as it gets answered.
Depends on who.
But I want to ask him, because you look at the Patriots, and I watched the game between the Patriots and the Dolphins this morning.
Mm-hmm.
It was very evident to me that Cam does not trust his receivers outside of Julian Edelman yet. You got young guys, N'Keal Harry, the other kid whose name is escaping me now, that he had to throw to a couple of times. The young receivers on that roster, he does not trust them yet. It is evident to me. Not to mention the fact that opposing defenses, really, you're keying on Edelman. You don't have a tight end to really worry about there in New England, and you don't have a second or a third receiving option that you really have to worry about outside of James White.
Right.
So I think as teams get a bead on what New England wants to do with Cam, they'll be able to spy him more to have him accounted for defensively. With the Bills, I don't know if you can do that. You've got so much talent at the receiver position that you've got to account for. I don't know if you can key on Josh and spy him maybe as much as you would like because of all the other weapons that they can deploy on the field. I want to get Dan Orlovsky's take on that to see where he comes down on it because you may want to spy Josh here and there, but you can't go one-on-one with John Brown and Stephon Diggs at the same time.
Right, Stephon Diggs and John Brown are not N'Keal Harry. And vice versa. And you can't defend them the same way. And you can't waste a guy on a drop back pass thinking their quarterback might have to run. Because if you spy him, that makes it all the more likely he will not have to run because you got less defenders
right.
in the back end.
And if he's, you
so
got a spy,
get separation.
You got a spy sucking up on Josh, he's just going to drop it over that guy and find somebody in the receiving.
It just opens up too many passing lanes for a quarterback that.
Brian Flores, the Dolphins head coach, kind of addressed that this morning in the press conference that he had with the Buffalo media, saying, well, yeah, we respect Josh and what he can do when he tucks it and runs or buys time and makes plays off script. He goes, we got a receiving core to worry about in Buffalo, too. And he's right.
Right.
He's right because there is a lot to account for now with this Bills offense. So
we could play some of this sound, I guess. We have some of it.
Yeah, we'll get to it. We'll absolutely get to it. So we got Matty Glab coming up around 12:40 when they break into individual position drills. At least that's the scheduled time they plan to do that. So that's when we want to get her on the line from practice. As we mentioned, ESPN's Dan Orlovsky at 1. And then from the Miami Herald, the intrepid Dolphins reporter Armando Salguero will join us at 2 p.m. to kind of get us up to speed on the Dolphins, who were in that game against New England. I mean, you know, Fitzpatrick stages a drive there in the fourth quarter, gets the two-point conversion on a broken scramble, and it's 14-11 with 7 minutes left in New England on the road. And then, the Patriots stage a drive, go up 10, and then Fitz gets picked off on a play where I thought they could have very easily called pass interference in the end zone. The tight end gets completely walled off by a defensive back who basically sets a pick on him so he can't make a play on the ball, and the safety behind him makes an interception because the tight end can't make – he's literally like 6 inches from the football. He gets totally picked. I mean, he looked like Moses Malone in the high post there,
right,
picking off the tight end, and the back judge swallows his whistle and doesn't call anything, and it's an interception for the Patriots, and basically they salt the game away. That's how it ended.
Right. Yeah, and they were minus, I guess.
They were in that game.
They were in that game with Fitz throwing three picks.
I'm gonna defend Fitz here. I know he throws a lot of them.
Right.
Two of them came on when his receivers fell down on routes.
Right.
And the DB was still standing up, and it was like, oh, yeah, thank you very much.
My point wasn't about Fitz. It was the fact that they were that close, turning it over three times.
Yeah.
You saw what the turnovers did to Buffalo's score. What would they have done to Miami's score had they not had the ball picked by falling down receivers or a missed pass interference call? That game goes very differently if those things don't happen.
Yeah, you're absolutely
so,
right.
So if you go into it, and I think it's a mistake to ever go into a game thinking, yeah, they're going to turn it over to us. They may, but you got to plan to play better and beat them head up, level field. And any breaks you get, you take them. But you can't plan on breaks. The breaks going your way.
Yeah.
So,
go ahead.
I mean, that's it. So, you know, this is a Miami team who took that New England team to the wire. And I don't know how good either team is, but it was a close game.
Yeah.
And, you know, Miami's going to have to do a better job than scoring 11 points, no question, but so are the New England Patriots. They can't get away with scoring 21 points a game. I mean, they've got to be disappointed as well.
Yeah, I couldn't figure out what to make of Miami's defense. Their pass rush was very limited. Not a lot of pressure on Cam. Granted, he only threw it 22 times, and the Patriots ran 41 times. They got this undrafted kid, J.J. Taylor. He's 5'6", 180 pounds, and he's a little pocket rocket, man. He's
right.
So low to the ground.
He's 5'6".
They can't get a beat on him. He led that team in carries and was pretty productive for them. It's just, you know, New England always finds somebody to just plug into the running back rotation, and
right. They
just go with the hot hand. Although it looks like Miami's doing the same thing, because the running back that had the hot hand for them this past week was Myles Gaskin. It wasn't Jordan Howard, who they signed in free agency. It wasn't Matt Breida, who they signed in free agency from San Francisco. It was Myles Gaskin, who had a nice game, I thought. Made a couple of plays out of the backfield as a receiver, ran tough between the tackles, and he's not a big guy. He's kind of a make-you-miss kind of guy, but he had a good game. So
they only threw the ball 19 times, not 22 times.
Yeah, well,
Patriots.
Right, he dropped back to pass 22 times. He scrambled three of those times. So, but yes.
That's amazing.
19 actual pass attempts, and I think 41 runs was the total in the game for the team.
That's crazy in today's NFL.
It'll be interesting to see what the Bills' balance is, which leads us in to some of Coach McDermott's comments that we wanted to play for you from just about a half an hour ago when he was asked about finding a balance in Josh Allen's run-to-pass game. Here's what he had to say about that.
Yeah, it's a balance, and you said it, right? It's what we're always trying to find with the balance of our fundamentals and the ball security, which is involved in our fundamentals and running for production, and also keeping a good eye on how many is too many, right? So, but also how few is not enough, you know. So it's a delicate balance, John, to your point.
And that's going to be a weekly task that they have to undertake. And a lot of it is not only going to be predicated on game plan, Steve, but how the game unfolds. I mean, if they don't have an answer for Josh, they're going to keep running them.
The balance changes every week.
Yeah.
The balance changes depending on who you're playing and what they think.
It might not be a balance at all.
It might not be it might not be a balance 1 week, and it may be an unbalance in the other direction the next week.
Yeah.
I don't think they have any philosophy, and they don't need one. They don't have a philosophy to say, we are not going to run Josh more than whatever times, 10 times, 50 times, 4 times, 2 times. They're not going to do that. They're going to say, listen, this play is there. We're going to run it. And we need a play right now. We're, you know, this down and distance. We need a conversion, whatever it is. It's a third and short. It's a third and long. It's a whatever. You pick the scenario you can. They don't have a recipe for how many times he's going to run it. They know what they're looking for when they want him to run it.
Yeah.
And if that shows itself, they're going to do it.
Now, what they also want is better production out of the more traditional run game from Zach Moss and Devin Singletary. Now, as Steve pointed out on yesterday's show, the lack of success with the run game last week against the Jets had less to do with Singletary and Moss than it did with the guys trying to create the creases up front. They did not consistently win the battle at the line of scrimmage, which was a major problem in 2018. It got significantly better in 2019 when they revamped the offensive line. But on Sunday, the guys up front were a little slow out of the gate in terms of getting effective openings for their backs, and that's why they averaged, Moss and Singletary combined, 2.27 yards per carry this past week. It's not good enough. Now, Coach McDermott put that on the list of things to work on, and here was his comment today about creating more success in the run game.
I think it's a mindset, right? And that's where it all starts. And playing well at the line of scrimmage is important. As you know, we've talked about that many times over, and that's where it starts. We've got to play well up front on both sides of the ball, and then when the holes are there, the backs have to hit them. So it's never just one person or one position. It's all of us, starting with me, and I've got to do a better job.
And, Steve, this is going to bear watching because we know I thought the pass protection was very good. So they were aces in that area, and maybe it's due in part to the fact that the Jets really don't have a top-flight pass rusher. Neither do the Dolphins, for that matter.
Right.
So pass protection is less of an issue due in part to the opponent, and to their credit, they were pretty effective in passing things off in week one, I thought, pass protection-wise, for this Bills offensive line. But as Coach said right there, it's got to take a noticeable step up in quality and consistency when it comes to creating holes in the run game.
Yeah, and it's going to be a week-to-week thing just like it always is. I don't know that the Dolphins have as good a run front as the Jets. I don't think they do. Statistically,
no.
It's not even close. But that doesn't mean they can't fix it. Certainly they're not going to get any more talented, but they'll tell you that when you ask guys about their run defense, they'll always tell you, they'll point to technique and to communicating better and to getting the right run fits. Those you can fix. So if the Dolphins do have problems like that, you can bet they're working on fixing them. But I'm telling you this, you got to get more out of Zach Moss and Devin Singletary in the run game. There has to be more room.
Need a better balance.
Because there's only so many ways you can hand the ball off back there and let those guys go.
Well, and not only that, I don't think you're going to be able to lean on the passing game as much this week as you did last week. I mean, the passing game actually doubled as a run game, you know, with the short to intermediate throws that they used. And I don't think that's going to necessarily be available to them in as plentiful supply this week against corners the caliber of Xavien Howard and Byron Jones on the outside. So those options are likely to be fewer and further between, which means you better get something going on the ground here. Now, last week, if it's any indication, is certainly encouraging. They gave up over 200 yards on the ground to the Patriots. But what do you think they're going to be trying to fix all week?
Right.
That. So, I don't know. We'll have to see how it goes.
They'll have a plan for quarterback runs. And like you said yesterday, and it's become a little more common knowledge for the casual fan, when the quarterback doesn't hand it to somebody. And here's what happens. And I'll just go back to football 101. When the quarterback hands it off, he's not a blocker. He kind of backs away and watches the game. But when he doesn't hand it off and carries it, the guy he would have handed it off to is a blocker.
Yeah.
So whatever number of defenders you have, they're now outnumbered by one, or they have the exact same number as your offense does.
Mm-hmm.
And if everybody puts a hat on a hat, there's nobody to tackle the quarterback. That's why you've got to have a plan for it, and you can bet the Dolphins are spending some time going over their little notebooks, finding a way to find a guy free. They will be crashing into the line of scrimmage late or packing the box and forcing Josh Allen to throw at the corners or what have you. So they're going to have a plan, a better plan than they did for Cam Newton in week one.
It was kind of fun watching the Dolphins game from an offensive standpoint, just seeing Chan Gailey's scheme again, a lot of 11 personnel. Not so much four wide, just because I don't think he has the horses, especially with Parker a question mark for this week. But it was kind of fun to see Gailey and Fitz kind of back together throwing the ball all over the yard, as they were prone to do here in Buffalo when they were doing that. Yeah. And Coach Flores for the Dolphins was on with the media here in Buffalo this morning, and he commented on the addition of his new offensive coordinator, Chan Gailey.
You know, Chan, he was definitely someone, whether he was in Buffalo or with the Jets, that, you know, he's got a lot of there's a lot going on in the offense, you know, from a personnel standpoint, you know, 11 personnel, 10 personnel, 21 personnel. I mean, he's and you never knew from a game plan standpoint what you were going to get. I was obviously a very good teacher, and I just heard that, you know, just from players, from other coaches, and, you know, just his offenses, you know, from my experience, they just brought a lot not issues, but, you know, they created a lot of issues. So we're happy to bring him in. He's done a really good job so far, and we're just going to continue building and trying to get better and improve. But we're up against a pretty tough defense this week. They fly around, they play well together. They've played well, you know, played together for a long time. So you can see the rapport and camaraderie that's been built. And this will definitely be a tough test. I think Leslie does a great job. Leslie combined with Sean, they do a great job defensively. So, you know, we have to play well to move the ball against these guys.
Right. That task may become easier if, you know, the Bills are shorthanded at the second level, because the coverage abilities of Matt Milano and of Tremaine Edmonds, especially with his range and reach, you know, being such a long limb player, even if one of those guys is out, it's going to be something that they'll look to exploit, you would think, because, yes, AJ, what happened in the game last week? I mean, as soon as AJ Klein came into the game, the Jets went right after him in pass coverage and made a couple of plays on him. Now, if he gets a full complement of reps this week as a starter because the other guys can't practice, I would assume that helps him. But he's a veteran player. He knows where he has to be, knows what his assignments are. But again, as we said at the top of the show, he's not quite the athlete that Tremaine Edmonds and Matt Milano are, and that leaves you somewhat exposed. They're going to go after whoever they feel is the weakest link. And in the back seven, when you look at all the talent they have across the board, that's where they're going to be looking.
Yeah, they're not going to throw to Tre'Davious White, Poyer, or Hyde. They're going to go at cornerback two, and they're going to go at the linebackers, whoever those are, yeah. If they are not, you know, Milano and Tremaine Edmonds. And even if they are, they got to throw it somewhere. So it's going to be interesting to see what the Bills come up with. Now, also, I know this too, and Flores, who we just heard, Brian Flores, the head coach of the Dolphins, just said he know that the Bills are going to have a plan and will probably anticipate or know in their heart where their weakness is on this defense, and they will help those weaknesses. And this is also a different defense than it was 12 months ago in that the front is better. They got more consistent pressure in week one than they did most of last year, and they got that consistent pressure a little quicker than they did most of last year. That changes things exponentially. So they're still going to have to throw it. Sam Darnold missed about he missed a ton of throws early in that game because he didn't throw it well on the move. And he was throwing on the move because the pressure was there and it was there quick.
And we should mention that the Dolphins are starting two rookies on their offensive line, including their tackle, Austin Jackson, out of USC, who's only 21 years old. So that guy's learning on the fly. And I can't remember the name of the other offensive lineman that's a rookie also.
It was Jesse Davis, Solomon Kindley.
Yeah. Kindley's the other rookie.
Right, the right guard.
Yeah, so the right guard and the tackle, Austin Jackson, are the two rookies. And, you know, against a veteran front, they could be susceptible. Coach Flores is being credited with trying to create a culture similar to the one that Coach McDermott cultivated up here in Buffalo. Obviously, the Bills are probably 2 years ahead of the Dolphins in terms of where they're at now. He's still trying to build this from the ground up. Brian Flores is probably in the position now that the Bills were in 2018. And he was asked about that, and Coach Flores said, hey, he didn't deny it for a second. I've taken a look at what Sean has done in Buffalo. Let's hear his thoughts on that.
Sean, Brandon, they've done an incredible job. I think it's about, you know, it's about bringing in the right types of people. I think in any business, it's about the people. So, you know, in his case, it's, you know, he's got the right people in place from a scouting standpoint with Joe Sheen, Brandon Bean. You know, they got a great staff over there. Same thing as a coach from a coaching staff standpoint. They got a great staff from that standpoint. And then bringing in the right types of players. So they've you know, certainly been a model. And Sean and, you know, what they've done is something that I've definitely looked at and said, hey, you know, if we were going to, you know, build something, you know, wanted to model it after, you know, a program, you know, that's certainly one that you know, we and I referenced, you know, when we were trying to do some things, you know, over here. Now, we got a long way to go. I mean, there's no doubt about that. But, you know, we know it's going to take hard work. It's going to take everyone kind of pitching in and doing their, you know, specific job or role, and wanting to do that role and wanting to be great in those roles. And there's a lot of humility that goes with that. I know I've seen that from Sean and his staff, you know, when we've come across them. Brian Daboll is obviously a great friend of mine who I've spent a lot of time with, and he just, you know, fits the mold of everyone else that's over there. So they've done a great job. You're kind of starting to see the fruits of their labor over the last few years.
I mean, to me, that really says something, Steve, when you have a guy who coached under Bill Belichick, who is probably the quintessential success story of consistency in this league. And he said, no, I tapped in and referenced what McDermott and Bean are doing in Buffalo because it's working. And you'd be a fool not to look at other ways. There's more than one way to skin a cat. And while Belichick is probably the premier model, there are other success stories in this league on how to build a consistent perennial contender. And the Bills are on that path. And Brian Flores said, I want to take a look at it.
Certainly we've seen Bill Belichick, you know, keep his program going and do what he has done, win games, win championships, go to a Super Bowl with different types of teams. But we've never seen – it's been 20 years since Bill Belichick had to rebuild anything. The continuity has been there for 20 years. So you go back 20 years and, you know, Brian Flores and Sean McDermott are college kids, right? I mean, so to see a guy do it recently, within the last 2 or 3 years, and do it so consistently and well and so methodically like they have done here in Buffalo, it makes good sense for a guy like Flores. You know, he knows what Bill Belichick does week in, week out, but he never saw that get put together from the ground up. He never saw what steps were important and how those steps affected the process. So I think you're right. It is a great compliment to Sean McDermott, Brandon Bean, and the program they've put in here. It also gives you an insight into the fraternity of coaching. So you got a lot of friends on both these staffs. So it's pretty fun to hear these guys talk about each other and what they're doing and at this and where they are along their timeline.
All right, we got to take a break. When we return, we'll be checking in with Matty Glab along the sidelines at practice. As word is that Tremaine Edmonds and Tyrell Dotson are wearing red non-contact jerseys at practice. We'll get an update when we get an opportunity from one Matty Glab. That's coming up on the other side of the break here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker with you, One Bills Live. We'll be catching up with Matty Glab in about 6 or 7 minutes. We're waiting for them to break into individual position drills before we head out there to see how players are doing. Tremaine Edmonds was a wait and see. We know Delshawn Phillips and Matt Milano are not practicing today, and we'll get some other updates as well to see who else is not practicing. We do want to finish up with the comments from Brian Flores, the head coach of the Miami Dolphins, who did discuss the problems they had in corralling Cam Newton, who ran for 75 yards last week and 2 touchdowns in the read option game for the Patriots. It was a conundrum for the Dolphins, who looked a little bit crossed up with what the Patriots were throwing at them. So he knows that Josh Allen is every bit as good as Cam Newton is as a read option quarterback and running with the football. So here is Brian Flores on how he plans to use the lessons learned from Cam Newton this week against Josh Allen.
From that standpoint, and you know, as far as dual threat from a run game, running quarterback standpoint,
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yes, we've seen some of it a little bit, but this team offers some other issues when you got, you know, two outstanding receivers on the perimeter. It's hard to load up on the run game when you got guys like that on the perimeter. So, look, they do a good job, really, you know, in all areas. The tight ends, the backs, the scheme. I don't think it'll just be all run, quarterback runs. I don't think it'll be all pass. I mean, there's a great mix. And, you know, we got to do a good job of trying to defend it all. So, good communication, good fundamentals, technique. And we look, it's going to be a 60. Hopefully, we got to compete for 60 minutes and play. You know, tough physical game.
It's going to be a challenge because the Bills, the way the Bills draw it up is going to be different from the way the Patriots draw it up, and
right.
You're going to have to adjust on the fly.
And the Bills, I think, it's hard to know what, even now after we've seen them 1 week, what the ideal Patriot offense will look like. I have a hard time thinking they're going to let Cam Newton run it 15 times a game. Maybe they will. They've got to throw it at some point. Somebody's going to have some success at stopping their quarterback option kind of game. So, but the simple fact of the matter is when the Dolphins line up against Buffalo, Buffalo's a different team. They've got some guys on the outside that are not going to be covered up by the Dolphins' corners, at least not 100% of the time. And they've also got Cole Beasley. They've got Gabe Davis, who played a significant number of snaps this last week as a rookie, going out of four wide. They ran so many personnel combinations at the Jets. The Dolphins got to get ready for that. And you've got to think the Bills have a pretty good or are pretty confident that they can run some packages out of all those formations. So it's a lot to prepare for, just like he said, a lot like Cam. Like Chan Gailey's offense has a lot going on, as Flores himself said a minute ago. That's one of the reasons he brought him in. This is going to be a game about matchups. The question is, how well do Diggs and Brown match up with the corners? Because those guys, they may think we're going to go, we're going to man those guys up on the outside, and we're going to do what we can with the rest.
And they have a big, physical, rookie nickel corner in Igbinoghene,
right,
who's going to be able to knock Cole Beasley around if he gets up in his face and presses him. So
right.
It is going to be a challenge for this Bills passing game. We have to take a break, but when we come back, it's Maddie Glav from the practice sidelines, as she will provide us with an update as to just what Tremaine Edmonds and Delshawn Phillips are doing and not doing. And there might be a couple of other players not participating today. We'll get to that. And Maddie Glav, when we return here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health, this is Buffalo Bills Radio. Field here on a Wednesday, and joining us from the sidelines is one Maddie Glav, who is going to bring us up to speed on just who and who is not participating. And I guess we should start with the linebackers, Maddie. We heard what Coach McDermott said earlier. How does it look out there?
Yeah, definitely. Coach McDermott said that Matt Milano and Delshawn Phillips would probably not practice. Well, we haven't seen Matt Milano, and Delshawn Phillips was on the field during stretch portion, but then he went back inside. Tremaine Edmonds is out here. He's in a red non-contact jersey. He doesn't have any pads on, but has been going through some drills over in the far corner. And then Tyrell Dodson, also someone who has a red non-contact jersey on. He does have pads on and was just doing a special teams portion of practice. So those are the updates on the linebackers when it comes to injuries. Sean McDermott also said those few guys who have been out with injuries or are working back from injuries for Sunday have been doing everything they possibly can in the training room, in the weight room, when it comes to getting back on the field for Sunday's matchup.
Yeah, some people may not have noticed that Tyrell Dodson left the game late against the Jets last Sunday with about three plays left, and Tyler Matakevich had to come in for him. So it looks like he's going to be a guy to watch as well, knowing he is Tremaine Edmonds' backup. They're going to be really thin if neither of those two guys can go with the mic position.
Yeah, it's really important to get all those guys healthy. If all can't be healthy, just a couple healthy for Sunday's game. You've got Ryan Fitzpatrick out there. Yes, their offense doesn't look too new when you look at skill players, but they do have a new offensive coordinator in Chan Gailey, who the Bills are familiar with because he coached here, and Ryan Fitzpatrick is quite familiar with as well because he was here when Chan Gailey was the head coach of the Buffalo Bills.
What about the wide receiver core? Is anybody of note missing or practicing out there? What does that group look like? Who's working in and out?
Yeah, so one thing I did not expect to see when I was out here today, I did not expect to see John Brown in street clothes out here for a stretch portion, kind of just standing around, and then he walked inside with Delshawn Phillips once the practice portion started, once they got into special teams period. So not sure exactly what is going on with John Brown. Not sure if it's veteran rest day. Not sure if he's got a little tweak that he's working out. Usually the vets, if they're doing a rest day, they'll kind of stick around on the side here and work out, but he went inside. So to be determined on an injury update on John Brown, if he is truly injured.
Yeah, he's probably getting treatment on something. So we'll have to wait for the injury report to come out to see what the nature of that injury is, and that would change the dynamics for sure in terms of the passing game for Buffalo. It would certainly mean a larger role for Gabriel Davis, Matty, who got a pretty good amount of playing time last week when they went four wide.
Yeah, Gabriel Davis did get quite a bit of playing time on the field, as you mentioned. And one thing that Brian Flores, Miami's head coach, talked about when preparing for this game against the Buffalo Bills, and that, yes, Josh Allen is a dual threat quarterback. They have to worry about his legs and how he runs, because they allowed quite a bit of rushing yards to the New England Patriots last week, 217 to be exact, 75 rushing yards for Cam Newton. But Brian Flores said, hey, we can't just worry about Josh Allen. We can't just stack the box, because you have two wide receivers on the ends who are pretty dang good, and John Brown and Stephon Diggs. So you'd love to see John Brown out there. But whoever it is on the other side on the offensive line and how they line up, whether it's four wide, three wide, you name it, the Miami Dolphins corners and secondaries are going to have their hands full in preparing for Gabriel Davis or John Brown. They don't have too much tape on Gabriel Davis, so that is one thing that the Bills have going for them if it is truly Gabriel Davis out there.
And we should mention it is being reported out there as a foot injury for John Brown, so we'll wait for the team to confirm that, but those are some reports, at least in the early going here. We'll wait till the injury report comes out to confirm that. Steve?
Yeah, what about the defensive line rotation? That was raised some eyebrows, Matty, when A.J. Epineza was held out. And Leslie Frazier just said, listen, it's a tough group to get on the field with an abbreviated preseason. A.J. would probably thought it would be best for him to watch a week or two before we stuck him into the mix. And Bam Johnson was probably a better option for them on week one. What about the defensive linemen, and is there anything different you notice about their practice today?
Yeah, nothing different that I've noticed about the defensive linemen since practice has started. My eyes were pretty much on the linebackers that entire first portion during the special teams period. But yeah, A.J. Epenesa not being on the active roster to start the season, he may just need a better hold of this defense. So we'll see in a couple weeks if they do elevate him to the active roster for game day. One thing to say, though, Bam Johnson, it's tough to not have him active when he offers so much on special teams. That length that he has is something that the Buffalo Bills really like to use in their special teams packages. And he was used on the defensive line quite a bit last year. They really like that length that he has.
One thing, if you could take a peek, Maddie, we know Vernon Butler, the defensive tackle, missed last week's game with the hamstring injury. Is he out there practicing today with the defensive line?
Vernon Butler, honestly, they are so far down there, guys. I haven't been able to check on Vernon Butler. But there are no red jerseys down there, so I would say that's a good sign for the defensive line and that there's no red non-contact jerseys over on the defensive line.
We also know, too, that the Bills secondary, I know Josh Norman was put on IR just before the game last week. And there we see, now we're watching the D-line. Now we're getting a handle
on. I see
on,
Vernon Butler there, 94.
Vernon Butler is at least taking part in some of the reps as well. But what about the defensive backfield? What's the rotation like?
Yeah, so the defensive backfield, of course, Josh Norman is on IR, so we won't see him exactly in these practices in the next couple weeks. Hopefully he can get out here soon, though. So, of course, you're going to have Levi Wallace and Trey White in that rotation. Saran Neal, another guy who's been moved from safety to corner in the last couple months. Towards the end of last season, he started to move over to corner and take some reps there. So those are some of the players that you're looking at. They should get into one-on-one drills here behind me where the wide receivers and the corners go up against each other. So if it's going on while I'm still on, that will be interesting to watch.
Yeah, and we know Josh Allen had plenty of time to throw last week due to the lack of a pass rush and had some rather large windows to throw into because of the deficiencies of the Jets secondary. That is not going to be the case this week, Maddie, with Xavien Howard and Byron Jones and even the rookie Noah Igbinoghene in the slot. So what do you anticipate for Josh in terms of the passing game, knowing that those matchups are going to be a little bit more even between the Dolphins DBs and these Bills receivers, especially if John Brown is a question mark?
Yeah, I mean, Josh Allen put up 312 passing yards last week against the Jets. That's the area of the field they wanted to target, though. That secondary for the Jets was so weak going into that game. There were so many question marks still, so it was obvious that they were going to go four wide and air it out there because that's where they had the most success. 404 total yards of offense. They didn't quite make it to 100 yards on the ground because the Jets' strength on defense was their defensive line. Now you look at this game against the Miami Dolphins, it's a little bit different. Their strength lies in the secondary. The Miami Dolphins spent so much money on that defense last year. They ranked towards the bottom of the league in so many categories on defense. They allowed 30.9 points per game last year. That was the most out of any NFL team. So they're going to look very different this year. Now, in the first game against New England Patriots, they did allow 21 points. Cam Newton rushed all over them, like I said earlier, for 75 rushing yards. They allowed 217 rushing yards total, which was the most in the NFL, although passing-wise, they only allowed 140 passing yards. That's the lowest in the league. So I would see a little bit more in the run game this week when it comes to Zach Moss, Devin Singletary, and Josh Allen. Brian Flores, when he was asked about how they were against the run, specifically Cam Newton, he said their defense needed to do a better job with quarterback reads, setting the edge, and there's quite a bit of miscommunication. So we'll see if the Miami defensive line linebackers can get that figured out before Sunday, because if not, I could see a lot from Singletary, Moss, and Josh Allen again.
All right, Maddie, listen, we appreciate the insight from the sidelines there at practice. Thanks for keeping an eye out for us. I'm sure you'll keep us updated with respect to the injury news, especially that of John Brown when the injury report comes out later today.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks, guys.
All right, thanks Maddie. That's Maddie Glab live from the sidelines. John Brown, the latest development. Reports are that it is a foot injury for John Brown, and he is not participating in practice today. We'll have to see where that goes. whether, I mean, all indications are he's going to be a straight DNP today. Right. And the hope, obviously, is that he just needs an extra day of recovery and can be out there tomorrow. But a foot injury for a receiver, that's pretty significant.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, obviously, you know, there's what type of injury it is has a lot to do with it, and whether it's something he's been dealing with or whether it came out of nowhere, whether it happened in the game or whether it just got sore overnight, it could be any of those things. We don't know, but they need that guy. This is a year where, and I said it,
he carved the Dolphins up last year down there. What do you have, 8 catches, 130-something yards, and touchdown?
This is a year that one of the things that is out of control of Sean McDermott and the players is injuries. That's the one thing they can't really control, and it's the one thing that could really derail your season quickly. So it's they've been very fortunate the last couple of years, and I don't think that's an accident. I think they've got a great culture and a great system in place for maintenance and getting out ahead of injuries, injury preventative stuff that they do. I think they're way out ahead of it. But that doesn't mean they're going to go injury-free all year. And certainly around the National Football League, you mentioned it, you've got a ton of guys, a ton of teams are in the exact same boat as the Bills with soft tissue injuries.
So we'll have to see where that goes. Obviously, Tremaine Edmonds isn't going to be hitting anybody today. He's in a red non-contact jersey. So, too, is his backup, Tyrell Dotson. Now, we know that A.J. Klein is capable of playing the mic in this defense. So if both of those guys are unavailable on Sunday, A.J. Klein would be the next guy you would assume that would step into the Mike linebacker position. However, if if you get into a base package set and you need A.J. Klein on the strong side, it's probably Matakevich playing the Mike linebacker position in base set defenses. Right. When they go to nickel, it's probably Klein in Edmund's spot if Dodson can't go. And then filling in for Milano is someone else. You would say maybe Delshawn Phillips, but he's not practicing. So this could get very interesting. And depending on the severity of these injuries and how they project to Sunday, we could see the phone getting picked up and some guys coming in for workouts. The Bills only have one linebacker on their practice squad. It's Andre Smith, who only got here 3 weeks ago. They did release Corey Thompson. We'll have to take a look around the league to see if he landed somewhere else. But he has experience in this scheme and has played on the weak side. We have to take a break, but we'll assess all of that. And when we come back, we'll also have ESPN's Dan Orlovsky, who had a lot to say on Twitter and on his NFL Live show about the burgeoning relationship and development of one Josh Allen at the elbow of offensive coordinator Brian Daboll. That's all coming up after we come back here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.